gentlemen, your attention, please.
Oh, and remember, Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
In the big city of Chicago, there are at least 72 radio stations. That's quite a heat.
It's time for the biggest train wreck in Chicago radio history.
Pete.
He's possibly the most famous broadcaster ever.
Jane.
Wonderful woman. We're all very fond of her.
Thank God it's
Friday. All right, let's do this.
Here is Pete and Jane on 720 WGN.
Okay, I guess we're taking it right now.
Yeah, I guess so. No big grand opening for you, Pete.
It is the it's the Hometown Voices live broadcast. We're in Lisle. It's all brought to you by the Eyes in the Skies Festival. Open now through July 6th. Pete McMurray and Jane Monsouris, how are you feeling?
I feel so great. I know you're a little hot.
Now that we're under the tent,
you feel good.
And I have a Diet Pepsi and a water, it's perfect.
And the ice cubes under your armpits, you're
yes.
feeling good.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
I wish.
That's a good look for
that's
you, Pete.
Nice.
You know what? Listen, it's sunny skies. It's beautiful out here. We did evacuate for like 10 minutes, but we're all good. It's open. Come on out. Say hi to us. Enjoy the Eyes of the Sky Festival. It's just so nice.
What did I tell you on the way driving out here? I drove past O'Hare, and it rained for 45 seconds.
And you said, Jane, it's pouring rain by O'Hare. And I'm like, it's beautiful here.
For 45 seconds, it
but
poured.
I think they thought, and this is fine, I would rather be safe than sorry, that big storm was coming
right.
straight headed towards this festival in Lisle. And thank God it went a different direction. We're reopened, and people are back, and it's crowded, and we're having a good time.
Yeah, people are trickling in. We're yeah. right next to the area where the balloons are going to have the evening glow tonight at 6 o'clock.
Oh, my gosh, so beautiful.
We're here until 6, and we'd like to welcome in from the festival, it's Andy Nadeau. Andy, how are you?
Hi, Andy.
I'm fantastic.
So, Andy,
Even in the scramble to get like the evacuation / reopen, I'm fantastic.
You guys did a great job, by the way, because it was very easy. You were helping people get out of the park and then bring people back into the park.
And a lot of people just sort of like stepped away yeah. for some shelter and then they just came right back out. But when you're dealing with the music aspect of it, with the stages, when they say we have to evacuate, what do you just like pull the curtain and you're like, we got to cover this electrical stuff?
I'll be honest, there's a slight moment of panic. but you just kind of like, okay, you split your team up and you say, all right, you do this, you do that. You just kind of delegate the labor and then you just move as quickly as possible to get the people that need to be to safety. But there's equipment that is very costly that you got to like protect as well. So everyone was very understanding. Most of the bands, everyone knows there's, you know, weather problems. If I can control the weather, I wouldn't be working here, right? So,
right. You wouldn't be in front of us, that's for sure. You have a connection to this festival through your wife. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, actually, my wife's grandfather founded the festival. It just started with a love of hot air balloons, and he just started the festival. It started as one balloon, and it just kind of grew into this. So
wow.
It just got bigger and bigger. This is not how I got the job working with the festival, obviously. We got married long after like this was, you know, a thing. But
you were like, this is the job I want. I'm going to marry this
yeah,
girl.
Right. Exactly.
37 years ago. One balloon here. How many balloons are we going to see tonight?
That's a good question. I wanted to say they always try and shoot for like 20 to 30.
Okay.
So it kind of depends on how many fill. Because if the pilots are given the go-ahead to fly,
yeah.
it's all weather-based. So like
right.
wind speed, air direction, that kind of thing. If they are, if they're given the go-ahead to fly, some will fly. A lot will stay for the crowd, that kind of thing. So
they'll bring them out. And if they don't fly, they're still here on the ground.
Yeah.
And
so like, let's say the pilots are given the go-ahead to fly.
Yeah.
The ones that will fly, a lot of times they'll get up and go. They'll usually send the sport balloons because they can pack up quickly and get back here quickly and that kind of thing, where they'll leave a lot of the shaped balloons on the ground for people to take pictures, you
right.
know. Like, so I think there's a crab balloon this year, you know what I mean? Like, so.
Well, explain to people, because when you think balloon, it's a balloon-shaped balloon, but these are different types of shapes and sizes.
Yeah, so if you've ever seen a balloon pack out, it basically looks like a giant tarp. They're just laying out on the ground, and they take these giant fans, like floor fans, fans, and they just kind of start inflating the balloon until there's enough air until they can start blowing fire into the balloon. And then it just starts lifting off the ground, and they just stand straight up. And then
and there's characters. There's
yeah, like the parade.
Like I said, there's a crab this year. We've, right. we've had birds. We've had pirates. We've had, like, spaceships. Right. So.
But, I mean, 25 to 30 balloons is a lot of balloons in one area, and you don't often see that, right?
Right.
You see pictures of that. If you're lucky enough, you're driving by a festival that it has to happen at, or you see it. So just to be right here in Lyle.
Yeah, exactly. You guys,
right in your neighborhood.
You guys will get a good show. Even if the balloons aren't allowed to fly, and like sure. they get FAA regulations to allow them to or not, but if even if they can't fly, they will still inflate for the crowd, so it's always a good show. They when it gets darker, they glow the balloons, and, you know, it's pretty cool.
And some are tethered, and then do others go way up?
Yeah, the tethered rides you can actually pay for and go on a ride, and they'll run those all night. They'll run 200-300 people through those a night,
and then they and last start out there.
Last night it was amazing because we had the big fireworks. So we always do fireworks every night, but the fourth we always do, like, they're extra big on the fourth, right?
Yeah.
So the balloons were still up during the fireworks.
Wow.
So some of the pictures we were able to grab of just the balloons with the fireworks behind them, it was gorgeous.
Use those for the brochure next year.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
Explain the basket that we're in, because, you know. It's a wicker basket,
right? Okay. It's kind of unnerving, right? I've actually gotten a chance to fly, like, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 times, I think, and it's the most surreal feeling in the world. You literally just lift off the ground, and you almost don't know you're in the air.
Until
and then you look down, you're like,
so
I'm 20 feet off the ground. Like, you know, so it's
Ooh.
Just very gradual. You just lift right off.
Very slow.
Yeah.
It reminds me, and I'm sorry to say this, but the, you know, spoiler alerts, but I'm sure everyone's seen it, the end of The Wizard of Oz. So
sure.
if I go up in this balloon, am I going to end up...
Spoiler alert for the end of The Wizard
of Oz. But there
Oz.
Might be little kids listening that haven't seen the whole movie yet.
Right.
will I end up at home?
I guess it depends on what kind of weather you hit.
If,
right?
I click, if,
you,
if
we're
I
talking
click
Wizard
my shoes?
Of Oz, I guess it depends what kind of weather you hit.
So can normal people, I mean, someone that stops by the festival, get up and take a balloon ride untethered?
Yeah. So actually, two parts about this. We are selling balloon rides.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those are... off of where we're sitting, you can see a white tent off to the corner there.
I see it.
That's where they sell rides, and the balloons will be out shortly, but they're kind of like, they'll start selling tickets and people will start lining up. Sometimes they'll run into situations where they'll just get too many people,
yeah.
and they'll be like, all right, well, you're on a waiting list, but, like, you know, first come, first serve as far as tickets go. But the other thing is let's say you are of... special needs,
mm-hmm.
I guess maybe that's the best term I can use.
Sure.
On the other side of the river from us is another field, and they have a handicap balloon specifically for those people.
Love it.
It's set up. It's free
Very
for them.
Nice. That's
it's
great.
The balloon is called Serena's Song.
Okay.
It comes back every year. One of the coolest things about that balloon, the basket, first off, the basket is wheelchair accessible. And once the balloon is decommissioned, when they retire the balloon, it's already commissioned to be put in the Smithsonian.
Ah,
so, you know, just for
fantastic.
Its years of service for
really?
Working with those groups and
that's
kind of thing.
That's wonderful.
So.
I did see the Serena song mentions on the website. So
right.
now
yeah.
I know what that is.
Okay, I get it.
How did the balloons come out? Are they marching out? Or
no, they will
bring
be.
Them out
you'll
in
see.
A cart?
You'll see some you'll see some vans and trucks with trailers and whatnot
okay.
come
okay.
out.
Okay, yeah. Got it. Andy Nadeau, I'm sure we'll be talking to you. A few more times before 6 o'clock.
Yeah, great. I hope so.
And you're bringing the band by, right?
As long as time permits, absolutely.
The Wayback Wanderers. Hopefully
yeah.
we'll get them on before
yeah,
they
Way go. Down Wanderers.
Way,
way
down,
down
Wanderers.
Wanderers.
I'm sorry. They're
no,
from Peoria. I know this band.
Yeah.
So what time do they go on stage here at Lyle Eisen's
Way Down Wanderers goes on stage at 6:45.
6:45. Oh, we'll get him in.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We will. Thank you, Andy.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Andy.
All right, we're live in Lyle. Jane?
Today's broadcast from Lyle is sponsored by Eyes to the Sky Festival, featuring hot air balloon launches, nightly fireworks, and more through July 6th.
More coming up next at 720 WGN.
Don't value your resiliency and toughness. Like what we always say, Dante, go ahead, say it. Say it.
We ain't gone.
We ain't gone.
They missed it. Here they come.
Up.
One time out, they don't take it.
Oh! Oh!
WGN, it's Pete and Jane. We're live for the Hometown Voices broadcast from Lyle, sponsored by the Eyes of the Skies Festival, where 100% of the proceeds go to local charities. This is where it gets fun, because this next guest I absolutely love.
You talk about him pretty much every day in a text message.
He grew up around here, went to Bennett Academy, where he was a star basketball player. Fast forward to now, he is the head men's basketball coach at Loyola University. It's Coach Porter Moser. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
thanks for coming on. First of all, I have to say, Lyle, love it. I haven't been out here in years. I mean, it's a fantastic town.
I know. See, I grew up right there. I grew up in Naperville, and my whole family did, but I went to school. Bennett was right there in Lyle, right there on Maple and Yackley right there. But, yeah, great. Both those songs are great. I know. That's awesome.
Well, Coach, I wanted to bring you on for two reasons. Number one, of course, you're a hometown hero. I mean, people love you around here. Coach Moser's coming on? As soon as I walked into the festival, I mean, when you come back here, you have to be a celebrity.
You probably didn't have my grade school and high school teachers saying that, but they maybe my friends and people I grew up with. But I actually love so much. My father was at Moser Lumber, Moser Enterprises. He was the founder and chairman of the Riverwalk. I laid bricks on the Riverwalk, so community and the Naperville community. I grew up, going to St. Peter and Paul. My dad went to St. Peter and Paul. My siblings Matt, Mitch, and Katie went to St. Peter and Paul. My nephews and so we have a long, long history in Naperville, and I just love that community.
It's so great. I mean, and they love you here, too. Absolutely. And secondly, my son, Charlie McMurray, took your basketball camp last week for the fourth year in a row.
Charlie's a heck of a player. One, from father to father, you've done a great job with him. He's just so energetic, and we love having him. But camp's a big thing for me. I grew up going to basketball camps, and one of the big inspiration for me, basketball camp-wise, was Ray Meyer. And every summer, I went to Ray Meyer's basketball camp in Three Lakes, Wisconsin. You'd go for 2 weeks at a time, stay in cabins, no air condition, no electronics. They'd have the canteen. You'd play ball all day. And Coach Ray was there every single day. He ran a station. And it really inspired me for when I ran my own camps. My first week at Loyola, my first year, I had 1 week, 24 kids, four were my own, and three were my best friends. So we had like 17 paid campers. And fast forward to this summer, we'll have over 700 spread out through 3 weeks, and I'm there the whole time. And I just think it's a great way to impact, like Coach Ray used to impact me. And I love camp as another way to do that with young kids.
And just think about what you're leaving those kids with. Just like you were affected and inspired and motivated by when you went to camp, those kids are going to be on the radio fast forward so many years from now, and they're going to talk about you. But, Coach, a lot of kids maybe didn't get to go to your camp or they're not going to a basketball camp. What's one piece of advice you could give to them right now, and maybe it's their parents that are listening, that they can give to the kids to do better, to make the team this year, or just maybe improve their fundamental skills?
Well, we talk about, with the camp, just so much of just as hard as you can go. I mean, work on your skills. That's the one thing, like, right now that kids want to keep shooting, coming shooting from so far away right out of the gate, and they got to learn dribbling. The thing I would say for the youngest is the game becomes easier for them and more enjoyable at a beginning stage when they learn how to dribble first. Because if they can get in the games, and if they can't dribble, and then they don't have any fun, and then they kind of blow off the sport. But if the game is easier and funner at a young age, the better they can dribble. We spend a lot of time with dribbling and form shooting at a young age. But the most thing is have fun. Have fun. We tell them all the time. I mean, at that age, and I'm seeing it more and more, the pressure starts younger and younger with the travel basketball, with the pressures of basketball, is have fun at a young age. And that's what we try to promote at our camp. We have these things at our camp. We call them put-ups, Porter's put-ups. Instead of put-downs, everything is put-ups, high energy, positive feedback to each other, and we're really promoting it. And the other thing that's cool is, like, even our former players, this summer, Ben Richardson, Clayton Custer, Dante Ingram, Marcus Towns, I mean, those guys are playing in the NBA Summer League this week, and they all came back and worked camp the last couple weeks. And all of our current players are working camp, and it's just a great way for these young kids who they see our guys on TV, that they recognize, hey, these guys are hard working. I mean, we talked about our guys. They were lifting at 7 to 8 in the morning, showering and starting my camp. Then afterwards, we had a workout with me. Then they went to a class and had study hall at night. And we talked to our campers about this. You all want to be college basketball players?
Yeah.
This is these guys' days right now. I mean, they're lifting early before camp, working camp, practice afterwards, and then they go to class at night.
Well, you're teaching them discipline, which is great.
Yeah, it's good. But the camp, I want so much to have fun. just to have fun because it's and skills.
And skills. We're talking to Coach Porter Moser from Loyola. I'm glad you brought up the put-ups because that was in your closing speech. I was there for that. And my son came home from camp, and he's like, Dad, do you know what a put-up is? I go, is that when rebound where you pop it in? He goes, no. Do you know what a put-down is? I go, yes. Coach Moser is teaching us about put-ups. I go, that's the best advice any coach. Pump other kids up. That's the best advice you can give kids. I love that.
And I think that's why our camp has grown so much, because I know these kids come in and they feel like it's a safe, fun environment because all of my coaches, everyone's promoting it. Nice pass, nice shot, you know, great effort, way to dive on the floor, good defense. And, like, we're really challenging them to see how many put-ups they can do. And it becomes – and I go, that's – we talk about it with our team at Loyola. I go, this is not just a camp thing. I go, we're constantly talking about that with our guys, you know, creating an atmosphere and an energy level where you're picking each other up, you're elevating each other. And I just think every time I speak at grade schools, every time I go out, clinics, I speak of the put-ups. And I just think it's a big thing we got to start promoting from a young, young age.
I agree 100%. And you did such a great job. You have the young athletes that are working the camp. And like you said, you had these guys that came back that are in NBA camps this summer. Coach, thank you so much for coming on.
And I think that using the word put up, we can use that in every facet of our lives.
You're
whatever
right.
sport, whatever work facility, anything you're in, everyone should be doing a put up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, you guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Have a great weekend. Coach Porter Moser,
right.
Let's go to Kim Gordon with a news update. Kim?
Now back to Pete and Jane on 720 WGN.
We're live in Lisle at the Eyes of the Skies Festival, open now through July 6th. Pete and Jane hanging out here. Let's bring in the band. They'll be performing tonight at 6:45. It's the Way Down Wanderers. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, guys.
It's great. Hey. Great to be here with you guys.
There's
tonight.
A lot of you.
Colin, how many people are in the band?
Oh, we have six. Six with us.
Six people in the band. Okay. Do you want to introduce everybody?
Yeah, we got Austin Krause Thompson, my brother-in-law here on guitar and singing some vocals.
Hey guys. Great hair. Austin's got great hair.
just because he has long rock star hair and a ponytail.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. John
Marikowski.
When the
band shows up, you want
here.
Him to have the hair. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, John Marikowski from Evanston area on the drum set. Nice. And the
John's got great hair
today.
Well, John's got short hair.
Well, of course.
Okay, all right.
Sean McQuinn, he's going to be playing some keys with us.
Now, what is that? What is that instrument?
Yeah. This is a melodica.
That's the guy on Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
John Batiste.
Yeah.
Personal hero of mine, but he likes to mess around on these. So inspired. I'm going to try it out today.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
I love it.
All right.
John Williams on the upright bass and singing some vocals, too.
Yeah.
Can you describe the bass for people listening right now in their cars?
It's like a violin on steroids.
Okay. How tall is that bass?
About six feet tall.
6 feet?
Yeah.
It looks a little bit taller, but okay.
Well, I mean, it's got an end pin at the bottom that lifts it up to exactly the height that I need it to be.
How much does it weigh?
I don't know. I haven't weighed it lately. We haven't been to the doctor in a while.
I'd say maybe $1.50, 150 pounds. So
no, it's nothing much. It's just awkward.
6'3", 75 pounds. Okay.
So is that the bass that you've always played your whole life? Because when you think bass, you think of a bass guitar, and this is...
Well, I mean, when I first started playing the bass, it was in orchestra. So, I was playing with cellos and violas and violins and everything, so...
It's fabulous.
All right.
I love to see it.
And we have the guy on the banjo.
Yes, Mr. Travis Kowalski on the banjo today.
Okay, so these are bluegrass instruments, but you're a rock hybrid band. How would you describe yourself?
I think that's a good description right there. We play music that's heavily inspired by bluegrass music, but we kind of have some pop elements and some rock elements and even some spoken word, too, to kind of mix things up a little bit.
Okay. I grew up in Peoria. Jane and I both went to Bradley University.
Go be you.
That's great.
You guys are from P-Town.
Yes, myself and Austin here are from Peoria, Illinois.
Okay.
Yeah,
big smile.
I actually live right
faces.
On Bradley campus. So
you do?
That's cool. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, it's interesting because Peoria has that that country rock bluegrass sound that a lot of people don't understand unless you lived it. Am I right on that?
Definitely. I think, immersing ourselves around other musicians and learning from other players is a big thing to be playing this style of music. I grew up My grandpa played in a folk band, so I was kind of around, you know, Americana and bluegrass bands my whole life. So I've always loved this type of music.
Yes, Jane. Jane has her hand up.
Well, because there's a lot of people, and I need to ask this question. The Way Down Wanderers. I'm always curious how you pick the name of your band. How does that come about, the Way Down Wanderers?
I think, you know, in the stages before the band was formed, we were kind of always aspiring to travel and play music, you know, and just, like, let that be our form of spreading, you know, our art. And I think it just, we kind of grew into the theme of that.
And now you two are brother-in-laws, right?
We are, indeed, yeah.
So
I was fortunate enough to fall in love with Colin's sister a couple of years ago.
All right, dude, and, you got your buddy in the band falling in love with your sister. Your first reaction was, I'm going to punch him in the neck.
I can't say that was my reaction. You know, they... before they started, you know, dating, we spent a lot of time together, just the three of us hanging out. So we've always, it's always been a good,
yes,
a good thing. You know, I was really excited when they started dating because I thought they were a really good match, and yeah, happy to have Austin a part of my family.
I bet the wedding was fun.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
Were you the band? I mean, did you guys play at your own wedding?
No, definitely not.
No way. So you guys were friends first, then you fell in love with the sister.
Exactly.
Yes.
It was, now it's all in the family. Yeah. Is she here?
Now we're just
where
a family
she?
Band. She's not here today.
Aww. No, she didn't make it, hanging out in P-Town.
It's okay.
Colin, what do you call that instrument you're playing?
I'm playing the mandolin.
The mandolin.
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
Yeah. How fun.
You guys have such a great sound. My brother, Jamie, has seen you play in Peoria. When was the last time you played down there?
We were just on the riverfront back in early June this year. So
he loves you guys. He's
That's
like,
amazing.
You have to have them play Wildfire. Is there a story with this song?
Definitely. Yeah, I kind of wrote the song. My girlfriend at the time had moved away to a different state, and the song was kind of about being a touring musician and, you know, missing your family on the road, and particularly her in this song.
Aww. Awesome. Maybe you could fall in love with his sister.
Well, I'm actually getting married in
okay.
in a He's week, good. Not to Austin's sister. So.
You're getting married in a week?
I am, yeah.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. This is our last show today in Lyle before a couple weeks off. So.
Fantastic. The Way Down Wanderers, where can people follow you on social media? Are you just The Way Down Wanderers on
Yeah, The
Insta?
Way Down Wanderers on Facebook, Instagram, you know, Spotify, all of your platforms.
And by the way, not only do they have a great sound, because we're going to hear that next, but they have a great attitude. They're smiling and they're happy and they're
really
laughing
happy.
At jokes. Yeah, they have a good spirit. That's what I wanted to say. So thank
we
you
try.
For bringing that with.
Thank All right. you.
All right, whenever you guys are ready, All this right. is called Wildfire, The Way Down Wanderers on 720 WGN.
One, two.
Wildfire won't keep me back from you. It's alright, I'll be back.
Applause for these guys. When the drummer pulls out the spoons, you know this is a special band. Wow. Fantastic, guys. I mean, that is a great, great song. And the harmonies. I mean,
and
you
fun.
Oh, my gosh.
I was broadcasting it live on Instagram.
Oh, right on.
You had 1,000 people waving and, like, turn it up. It was so fun.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
The Way Down Wanderers are performing tonight in the Eyes of the Skies Festival at 6:45. We're going to do one more song after news, okay? All right. Let's check news right now. Kim, are you ready to roll?
I'm ready to roll.
Now, back to Pete and Jane on 720 WGN.
Broadcasting live from Lyle. It's all brought to you by the Eyes of the Skies Festival, where 100% of the proceeds go to local charities, and they're going to have the evening glow. The balloons are going to start showing up sometime in the next hour.
And you know it's 100% volunteers?
Yes.
Amazing.
Everywhere.
The balloons are going to start showing up, which I'm so excited about. But you know what I'm really excited about? The band's here.
The band at 6:45. Of course, live music all weekend long. The Way Down Wanderers perform tonight at 6:45. The Peoria Connection here with us. Jane doesn't. Do you like being associated to Peoria since you went
funny.
To Bradley?
You were in my head just moments ago, and I was like, I hate it when he associates me with Peoria. No, I love my Bradley association,
yes.
And I was born and raised
Orland
in the
Park,
south side of Chicago.
South Sider, yes.
The south side city proper, and then suburbs. You're from Orland?
Yep.
Really? Where'd you go to high school?
Sandberg.
Oh, you went to Sandberg. I went to Andrew. Yeah, but same district. We're good.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
Got it.
But I'm happy with Peoria. Thank you. I had a great time there.
If you're in a band, you have to wear pants, I've noticed, except for one guy in your band, Colin.
No, two guys.
Oh, two guys. Yeah. We got two pairs of shorts here. But most guys always wear pants. Why is that?
No pants required to be in the Way Down Wanderers.
Okay.
So the question is, because you've got, these are some cool pants with the tartan sort of.
Yeah, I like them.
Thrift store?
It looks like my kilt, believe it or not.
That's what
cool.
I was going for.
I like it. The whole look is good. The music's better.
Thank you.
How often do you guys play in the Chicago area? I know you're getting married next month.
Yeah, quite often. I'm trying to think. Austin, when's our next show?
Yeah, we're coming back for the Taste of Lincoln Avenue this late July, I believe, on the 27th.
It's right in my backyard.
So,
right
I
in
love your, the Taste right of Lincoln.
Hood. Yes.
Can we ask Andy, you have a funny story with the Way Down Wanderers? Is it a lot? Can he tell a funny story?
I don't know if it's funny.
Go ahead.
I don't know if it's funny, and I talked to these guys a little bit about it when they pulled up. It was really just a weird timing thing. We decided we wanted Parmalee for our country headliner, and we got them confirmed. And then we were like, well, who should we have as the opener? So some things came across the desk, and this one came across the desk, and I was like, I'm going to listen to it. And I'm like, oh, this sounds great. Who are these guys? And it happened to be the Way Down Wanderers. And I'm like, let's see if they're available. I think they'd complement Parmalee really well, and it'd just be a good mashup. And then the week after we got them confirmed for the festival, and they're going to be able to tell you a little bit more about this than I can, because this is more their news than mine, but the week after I got them confirmed, Rolling Stone magazine names them one of the top 10 bands of 2019.
You're kidding!
What?
Yeah.
So it was really just a timing thing on my part, but you know this is more their news than mine.
Uh-oh.
I just was like, I can't believe this just happened to us as a festival.
That's
we got
great.
We decided to pick a band, and then this happened. You know, so
I don't mean to bring it back to me, but
I know music.
The last band that I introduced to Chicagoland, I don't know if you've heard of them, Greta Van Fleet. I said this is going to be a great band. I went and saw them at the Aragon, and then they blew up.
And by the way, this is the
so
point.
I'm good luck.
This is the point in the show, guys. Don't give Pete your personal phone number. Because he will text you when he goes to Peoria.
Colin and Austin they're on my radar right now.
Did you already give me your number?
I'll get it.
He's got it. We've been texting buddies all day.
Oh boy!
I will send you a wedding gift. Okay,
oh,
can I Venmo you money and just call it a day? I'll do that during this next song.
I'll probably call you at like 2 a.m. tonight. Just to say,
tell me about this next cover you guys are going to do. Is this a band favorite? What is it?
Yeah, this is more so just one we've kind of worked into the set recently. We always like to switch it up, you know, with some fresh, you know, material. So originally done by The Faces, I believe, Ooh La La.
Right. Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart as well. And, we've just been having fun with it. So
people can hear this tonight if they stop by. Lyle,
Ives. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we'll throw this in the set tonight
for sure. 6:45.
Is the set list done already?
Not at all. No way.
Not started yet.
I mean, still you guys are top 10 band of Rolling Stone. We need to know.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, and also a lot of pressure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
remember us when you're big and famous.
And one more thing. Your manager, Garrick Peterson, who I've known for 20 years. How did Garrick, discover you guys, or did it just kind of happen that you worked together?
I think we'd worked with Garrick. He had booked us for a couple street festivals in Chicago, so we'd sort of known each other for a couple years, and then recently, I think in 2018, he after we played one of his festivals, he expressed interest in working with us, and he's just a great guy.
Smart man.
We're super lucky to have him on our team.
Yeah, he does. The Way Down Wanderers, okay, whenever you guys are ready.
All right.
Poor old granddad, I laughed at all his words. I thought he was a bitter man. He spoke on women's ways. With the trap you and the used you, before you even know. For love is blind, you're far too kind to ever let it show. Stronger than can, such a pretty show. They steal your heart away. But backstage, back on earth again, the dressing rooms are gray. But they come out strong, and it ain't too long before you feel the man. The love is blind, you're far too kind, you're just a boy. Cheek makes you wonder where you are. If you want some more and she's fast asleep, it leaves you twinkling with the stars. Well, poor young grandson, I don't know what more I can say. But you have to learn just like me, and that's the hardest way.
Down Wanderers, that is fantastic, guys. The harmonies.
Thank you so much.
I was worried about your voice towards the end. It looks like you were going to cough for a second. Nice.
He's a professional, Pete.
Guys, thank you so much for coming by. This is the band, Jane.
Yeah.
This is the band. Thank you.
This is the band to watch, and you're right here with us right now. Enjoy the show tonight. Have fun.
Thank you.
6:45.
Say break a leg.
The Eyes, the Skies Festival. Let's go to Kim Gordon with news headlines. Kim?
Ari? I told you to turn that off.
I did turn it off, but if you want a Beverly Hills mansion, and you want a country club membership, and you want 9 weeks a year, and a Tuscan villa, then I'm going to need to take a call when it comes in at noon on a Wednesday.
Now, back to Pete and Jane on 720 WGN.
Broadcasting live from Lyle, brought to you by the Eyes of the Skies Festival, where 100% of the proceeds go to local charities. Jane, are you ready for our next guest?
Everybody loves him.
I met him probably 20 years ago at the Hibben Theater fundraiser when he was doing Cupid here in Chicago. He's a former linebacker for Evanston High School, and his side hustle is, of course, acting. It's our friend Jeremy Piven. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Jeremy.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for recognizing me as an athlete. That means the world to me.
I try to mention that every time you come on the show. Yes, and a huge Bears fan, by the way.
Oh, yeah, and I just got an argument about the Bears today that people don't think that they have it. And you know that we are one double doink away from probably going to the Super Bowl and taking it all. So this is going to be their year.
Oh, I absolutely think so. I think we're going to the, minus a kicker last year, we could have gone to the Super Bowl. Absolutely.
Yes. And, you know, Robbie Gould, like, lives in Chicago.
I know.
You know, he's probably stretching out at Grant Park. We could have just grabbed him and just put him on the field.
He was at that game. I think he was in a skybox. We could have just grabbed him from the box and brought him on the field. He would have done fine.
Oh, my God. Dude, well, let's move on from that so we don't start sobbing.
We're all depressed now. We all get angry. Yeah. Well, you're doing the right thing. You're coming to town in August. You'll be here Thursday, August 8th at the Vic Theater. Now, the last time we spoke, you came and did sold-out shows at Laugh Factory, and I thought this stand-up comedy thing, it was just a one-time deal, and then you were going to go back to acting. You're still on tour with it.
Yeah, man, I got the bug. It's one of these things where, you know, you played a little clip from Entourage. That entire series was so brilliantly written. And there were times when I'm from Second City in the Piven Theater, grew up at Evanston. So, you know, improv is in my background. And so I'm always trying to kind of add what I can. And then I found this arena where it's all you. And so I'm just telling you, it's addictive, because the idea that you can come up with something that you think is funny and your friends might think is funny, and then you have to make an entire room, you have to hit it in real time, is addictive. And so it's been a year and a half now. I haven't stopped. And I'd love for you to come out, because I really feel like a stand-up now, because I just haven't stopped and I'm learning every night. And I'm going to, it's exciting. I'm going to go to the Vic. I grew up going to the Vic, and now I get to perform there on August 9th.
Yeah, and we can't wait to see you do that. Jeremy, I mean, you're just such a talent. Film, theater, television, now this comedy. It sounds like we already know the answer, but if you had to pick the favorite child, is it comedy?
You know, it's fascinating because, you know, growing up and doing theater in Chicago, I don't think people in Chicago realize that we have a lot of street cred out there. And I think, and I'm not just saying, the variable is that is the community, is that people come out, and when you've got a 99-seat, you know, theater, they're going to come and support you. So we all got the reps in. I got the reps so much, as do other actors. You know, Michael Shannon and Malkovich and all the guys over there, Steppenwolf and everyone.
Right.
You know, we just were very lucky that the good people of Chicago come out and support us. And so, you know, like, there's a theory that Malcolm Gladwell has about the difference between good and great. And I'm not saying I'm great in any way, shape, or form. I'm a work in progress, but it's 10,000 hours. And I've spent about 40 years on the stage. And so that's why I even think that I could have something to contribute to stand up. Listen, I'd be lying if I said I didn't use everything that I have in my act. I do impressions, I tell stories, I do observational humor, and it's straight up stand up. And I welcome everyone to come, anyone that doubts it. I just bring them all.
You'll be performing at the Vic Theater. You can go to jamusa.com for tickets. And I just jotted that down because I want to mention that. I saw your stand-up, and one of the things that you do is you're not really telling jokes, how you tell a story, and it's all about timing. And that is, that's what you learned growing up here in Chicago, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I can't wait for you to see what it is now, because you probably saw me 3 months into my stand-up career.
You were 90 days in, right.
I had no business being up there. And I just knew that if I threw myself into it and went into the deep end, the deep waters, I would learn. And I have a fast learning curve because, you know, being at Second City and doing sketch comedy and all of the background that I've had, every conservatory you possibly go to and theater companies and blah, blah, blah. So that now, not only is it stories and in impersonations, but it's observational humor, and it is jokes and everything in there. And, you know, if I'm not making people laugh from beginning to end, that's on me. That's not them. You know, you'll never hear me say, oh, that crowd was tight. It's like, you know, I got to go up in dive bars in front of a handful of millennials that don't have a clue who I am. And I, you know, and it gets ugly, you know, and I got to dig myself out.
You're right.
And I got to get them by the end. And that's heavy lifting. And that's how you get better.
That is so
and
funny.
And I love that you said that because, yeah. You know, for any of us, and if you don't learn something from the next experience, then you might as well not be doing it, right?
Yeah, and, if anyone asks my advice and they haven't, I would tell them
I'm asking.
To allow yourself, if you're afraid of looking foolish, we all are, but once you just go, you know what, I'm just going to jump in, and if I look right. like an idiot, I don't care, man. And if you go to that place, you will be rewarded because, it's painful to bomb, but you could make a breakthrough. And that's how you get better. No matter, what arena you're in or what level you're at, I think when you start to get stagnant is when you start, being very, yep. very safe and self-conscious right. and all that. And anything creative, that has no place. You have to just commit to these bits and just jump in. And I'm not just saying it. It's been on my calendar, and it's my favorite show of the year, for without a doubt, hands down, going home and performing there. And it'd be great, Pete, if you could make it out, just because I would love for you to see, what a difference the year makes.
I love it. Absolutely. I mean, think about back in the day. We all went to the Bruin View at the Vic. I've seen so many shows there right on yeah. the corner of Belmont and Sheffield.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I used to live in that area. I've walked those streets. I've performed in that area for so many decades. And, it's going to be just perfect going home, And, I'd love for people to come out. And I want to, see if I can perform in Chicago as much as possible. And so this is kind of the Laugh Factory was so good to me. And people showed up, and had faith in me. And this is going to be just another step. And I want to just keep going and then document it and get it to as many people as possible.
And Jeremy, when you come home, we love it when you come home to perform because we all want to see you. But when you come home not performing, what's your favorite thing to do?
My favorite thing to do?
Yeah. When you just get to come home and
I mean, of course, going to a Cubs game and a Bears game and just even jumping on a bike and just riding along the lake just forever.
Yeah.
Just even stuff like that. And also, I mean, you can pop into any place and hear great music. You can just, you kind of can't go wrong, and then there's great food everywhere. I sing Chicago's praises wherever I go. I feel like I should be a part of the tourist industry there. Maybe I should just put me on a tour bus or something.
Well,
I don't know.
In Chicago in the summertime, it's perfect, but 2 weeks ago, it was still winter. That's the thing, and now it's humid and 90 degrees, man. But you picked
yeah,
the perfect month.
It's all over the place, man, and there are no tougher people than Chicagoans, and
right.
they also really appreciate it when that, it's as soon as it, breaks above 57 degrees, shirts are coming off, tube tops are coming out. It's just, it's madness.
I told Jane I was going to go bare-chested before the end of the show today.
He doesn't understand. He's always wearing a sweater he can't take off, so bare-chested is not an option.
Maybe bare-chested it is a sweater. We don't know.
Yes, definitely. So, by the way, I follow you on Instagram, and I told you that we were going to have you on the phone, but when you come to town, are you bringing your new roommate, Bubba?
I have to bring Bubba because I'm on the road right now, and I'm missing him like crazy. And what's funny about him is it's funny, a buddy of mine is a comic, watched me playing with Bubba, and he just said, "You're trying too hard, man. You're trying too hard." Like, what do you mean? He goes, because Bubba just kind of rolls his eyes, and I'm throwing myself at him on the ground and everything. Bubba's just not that into me, and I couldn't be more into him. This is my little French, blue Frenchie.
Yes, and it's a dog.
My buddy said, that I have to play hard to get with Bubba.
Yeah.
And I just thought, only in L.A. would you have to even play hard to get with your dog. It's just insane.
Yes, definitely so, man.
So I'm going to bring him. I'm going to bring him on stage, and you know, I brought him on stage with me once, and I put him on the stool, and he just sat there and looked at the audience, and they just cracked up. And I know he thinks he can do stand-up, because he got lots of laughs, and he just kind of looked at me and was like, bro, this is cake, you know? And then I took him off.
At the Vic Theater. I would love to see that.
Well, when you come back, You'll come in the studio, and you'll bring Bubba to the studio, too.
Everything. You guys are going to be sick of me.
We love it.
It's fantastic. By the way, I do follow you on Instagram, as you know, and I love the picture on Mother's Day, your mom, and there was also a recent picture of you and your mother. How is she doing?
Thank you for asking. Joyce Piven is great, and one of my favorite moments in the show is talking about just my, you know, it's interesting because people kind of, my mom called it. I had no idea. She said, listen, are you ready if you do this series, Entourage? You know, she knows how much I commit. You know, you're in people's living rooms for maybe a long time. Are you going to be okay maybe being confused, you know, for this character? And I thought that's ridiculous. And sure enough, if you're in people's living rooms for over a decade, apparently, you know, there's some typecasting going on. And I talk about that a lot.
Oh, right.
And I talk about the fact that, you know, everything I said is Ari Gold. I said to my mother's face because I would run lines with her.
Oh.
And so I just basically show them the behind the scenes of what it was like. And so for me, selfishly, you know, the audience gets a sense of who I am and where I come from. And, you know, when you see a character and it's played authentically, sometimes people can just assume that that's who you are, you know. And you listen, the Emmanuels came from, you know, they're just outside of Chicago.
Right.
They're Ari Emanuel and Rahm. Yeah. You know, people, this is an overachieving family. And he was just a brilliant guy and character to use as my muse.
That's wonderful. And by the way, your mother is a Chicago treasure, and we embrace families like yours, the Piven Theater, that has done so much for the community. And I do mean this. I met you 20 years ago at a Piven Theater fundraiser in Evanston.
Yeah, and it was really cool that you were there. It meant a lot to me that you showed up, and you know, local guys like Billy Deck will have us over there, and we felt the love for so long. And my mom is out in L.A. now. Finally, we got her out of the cold. And she's just still doing her thing and very vital and loves, you know, working with people. And I want to get her back. Maybe that would be a great show to bring her to. Bring her to that. So Joyce Piven, Bubba in the house, and have just like a reunion. That would be nice. We're going to have to get you out for that.
Standing ovation. I love it. At the Vic Theater. For tickets, again, go to jamusa.com, or I'm sure they're on your Instagram page, too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Why don't, when we get off, maybe you can give a couple tickets away to some listeners, if you don't mind. That would be amazing. And
I'd
maybe
love to.
Some free, like, you know, VIP meet and greets and stuff for anyone, you know, who can tell. The question will be, what was the name of the theater company that John Cusack and I had in Chicago? Maybe that'll be the trivia question.
I love that. Okay. He comes up with his own trivia question.
I like that. All right.
A pair of tickets?
A pair of tickets. I'm Jewish, but I'm not that Jewish. I can spare two tickets.
One of the best Jewish linebackers to come out of Evanston High School. Jeremy
Piven.
There
you go. That's good.
We'll
I need a T-shirt that says that.
We'll see you in a few weeks.
On.
Thank you, brother. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you, guys. Stay
All
safe,
right,
everybody.
Care.
Bye, you guys.
312-981-7200. First person to get that correct, we'll set you up with a pair of tickets to the Vic Theater and some meet and greets.
That's great. How nice of him to give that away. I want to go to the show.
I got to tell you, I was blown away. He was very funny.
When I saw that he was doing stand-up, I thought, I knew he was doing it he did it last year. And
yeah.
I was like, can he really do stand-up? And I read reviews that said it was fantastic.
I saw him before the show at the Laugh Factory. He was so nervous.
Of course.
He's like, I can only talk to you for about 25 seconds because
you've done stand-up.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Because if you bomb, you think, oh, my God, they're not laughing. But you just have to plow through.
Right. You know they're going to laugh
at some point. And my material, nobody laughs at. So I have to plow through everything.
They're
and
laughing.
My set's over
they're
in,
laughing with you, Pete.
In 9 minutes. Yes. 312-981-7200. First person to get that correct. What theater group did Jeremy Piven and John Cusack
start together in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Chicago stories told 24/7 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN radio on TuneIn. Time for news. It's powered by Townstone Financial. Here's Kim.
Now back to Pete and Jane on 720 WGN.
Broadcasting live from Lyle, brought to you by the Eyes in the Skies Festival, where 100% of the proceeds go to local charities. The balloons are starting to set up.
I know. I see them rolling in.
They are going to have the evening glow around 6 or just after 6 o'clock. We are hanging out probably in the heart of the festival, wouldn't you say?
I think so, absolutely. Because we've got all the craft vendors, we've got the food vendors, the carnival is really close by. We can have good sight lines here to all these balloons.
Got it. I have to congratulate Larry from Buffalo Grove. He picked up the pair of tickets to meet Jeremy Piven and go to a show at the Vic Theater. So congrats,
Larry. It's going to be a great time. Good job, Larry.
Nice. And you love food more than anything.
Hey, listen, the funniest thing that you just said that, because I was just thinking, there's nothing more that I like to talk about in life than food.
There's a brand new place that just opened called Cafe Demoda, and we have the owner here. It's Joe. Hold on. Let me get your last name correct. Joe DeBraccio.
Yes.
Hi, Joe. Do we call you owner? Do we call you Joe? Do we call you chef?
Call me Joe.
Call you Joe. Joe's okay. Joe.
Pretty easy,
you
right?
Look like you came from Goodfellas. I mean, you just walked off the movie set.
Well, thank you. No, I grew up on the south side here, but no Goodfellas for me yet. So.
Or at least he's not admitting to it, Pete. Right.
What is Cafe Demoda? Tell us about it. It's brand new, right?
Yep. So we just opened in June here, and we're really excited to be part of Lyle, and we call it actual Italian food. So I spent the last 10 years in Italy, and we just wanted to come back and find something that we actually saw in Italy. We love our beef sandwiches, we love our deep dish pizza,
sure.
But we wanted to come home and actually have something that we saw in Italy. So we do all the Italian street food, which is sandwiches, salads, pastries, a lot of it from that we bring over from Italy. So, yeah.
So you're serving here at the festival coffee and donuts and pastries?
Coffee and pastries, yeah.
But all day long at the cafe, you have the sandwiches.
Absolutely.
And so what are the hours? How early are you open?
We're open from 5:30 to 8 during the week, and then 7 to 5 during the weekends.
5:30 a.m.
Yes.
To 8 p.m.
Oh, it's a beautiful morning every day.
Joe, explain to me, why were you in Italy for the last 10 years? Running from the police? I'm sorry. Did that come out of my mouth?
He's going to
look at his mitts, how big his hands are.
Do you see the people behind him?
Right.
Yeah, they're hiding behind
why
the
tree. Why is that guy wearing a trench coat? This is odd. It's 90.
So I was an engineer over in Italy for an automation company, and I loved it. I love the food. It's simple. It's fresh. You don't have to get crazy. You just use the right ingredients, and we just wanted to bring that back here. We came home, and we couldn't find that. So that's why we say it's actual Italian street food. So
you were never a restaurateur ever.
No.
You said, we're going to do this now.
Right.
You're
right. Yeah, I'm a big
jerk. You didn't go to school for any type of food training?
No, I did not.
So wow.
I've always been in small business. So my dad, my brother has a few places in the area.
Okay.
And we love the business. We love, you know, going into it. And it's just a passion. So.
And I love that you're serving what you tasted and what you were living in Italy. Now, Pete, you know I'm obsessed with CBS Sunday Morning,
yes,
the TV show.
We talk about it a lot.
Well, yes. On that show, they just did a story about people moving to Italy, like Americans moving to Italy. You were there. Did you go because you're Italian, or did you go because you had to go be an engineer?
I went there. I took the job because I got a chance to
live in Italy.
To go there and use the language skills a little bit, and I just wanted to go.
10 years?
Yeah.
There are people that are moving and not coming home.
You're right. I want to talk about portions and the actual ingredients when we come back, okay?
Sounds great.
What's your website, Cafe Demoda?
Cafe Demoda is CafeDimoda.com.
Got it. Joe DeBraccio is here, and we are live in Lyle. Eyes of the Skies Festival, 100% of the proceeds go to local charities. Let's check the news update with Kim Gordon and more with Joe coming up next. Kim?
It's a great show.
Now back to Pete and Jay. Yes. On 720.
Hold on, I was waiting for the music to kick in.
I know.
Yes. Hiya DDR, living healthy every week. We're broadcasting live in Lyle, sponsored by the Eyes to the Skies Festival. Remember, you can go to Eyes to the Skies on Instagram. You'll see all the balloons tonight. They're going to have the evening glow sometime after 6 o'clock. They're out here until July 6th.
And all, everyone's starting to get their seats so they can get the perfect seat to see all the balloons. Pete, are you going to ask our guests how much you can bench? Since we're talking about living healthy.
There's food out here, and one of the food vendors is Cafe Demota. It's Joe DiBraccio with us, who spent 10 years in Italy, came back here and said,
I'm going to open a cafe.
I think I could do that.
Yeah.
And you did that. And then you're located right next to the train, right?
Right. Just north of the platform over there in Lyle train station.
Okay.
So, and you're getting, go ahead.
5:30 in the morning you open, so you're basically a breakfast lunch club.
Right.
Place.
Oh. Absolutely.
Okay.
We're trying to get the commuters.
Yes, all the people
jumping
by
the train. And then everybody else after that.
Smart. So the commuters going to the train, they're like, I would love a coffee and some pastries to bring with me on the train.
That makes sense.
And what a better place to get it than the Cafe Demota.
Right.
What kind of coffee did you bring back?
Lavazza. Oh. Italy's number one coffee.
Is that their number one?
Yeah. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds
cool. Oh, it's, you know, I'm partial. But I think it's the best espresso, the best, you know, if you just want a latte, you want whatever you want. It's the best.
Whatever you want. DiBraccio.
Are you in the kitchen doing the cooking?
I'm assisting, for sure, the entire time, yeah. I also like to, sit at the register and just talk to everybody, you know. I mean, I walk around to people's tables just to see if everyone's doing good and making sure that they got what they ordered and, you know. My wife calls me the mayor. So as I walk around and just shake people's hands.
Well, people want to see the owner when they stop by a restaurant, especially early in the morning.
Well, for us just starting off, you know, it's important that we, you know, make a connection with people, make sure that they know, you know, that we're there to make things right if something came out wrong. You know, I want to make sure that we're getting the right feedback from everybody. So,
and it's a family restaurant, and people love to support families like
absolutely.
That.
You're there 24/7.
Right.
<Yeah. laughs> Was your mother a good cook growing up? Your name ends in a vowel.
Yeah. Well, my
DiBraccio.
My dad was the cook, actually.
Really?
Ah. Yes. Yeah, he'd come home and spin something up after a long work day, and that was, that was the really important meal of the day when he came home and he cooked it.
Oh,
you know?
He wanted something good.
What about Sundays? Did he do a big...
Oh, always had something going, starting right thing, first thing in the morning. And you get to let it cook all day and just sit there and ruminate in the juices a little bit. Oh, it's fantastic.
So is that still a tradition or now because of the restaurant, you're then at the restaurant?
Well, I'm there a lot more, but we'll still do it. Either, you know, my mother-in-law or someone's cooking a big meal on Sunday, no matter what, everyone's getting together.
I'll be right over.
Isn't that interesting? Because the Italians, the Mediterranean, so it was Sunday dinner for family, and it was like at 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Just show up. We're going to feed you. Just stop here.
Right. It starts
welcome.
At 2.
Yeah.
It might go till 8. Yeah. You know, they keep on bringing stuff out every time I dig something else out of the fridge, you know.
To this day, my mother still does it. So, honey, I'm making Sunday dinner. I can't talk. Your brother Mark's coming over and Steve, and they're bringing their friends. Okay, Mom, I'll let you go. That's how it is. But that's what you want, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And anyone feels welcome just to jump in and drop by, you know. And that's the kind of vibe we're trying to get at our restaurant. You know, come on by, stop by, and have a, you know, nice chat with us, and, you know.
It's like family.
Exactly.
Everybody's
feel like family.
Welcome.
I got my 9-month-old baby sitting in one of the chairs half the time.
Sure.
Because, you know, because me and my wife are sitting there.
You're working.
Working, you know. And, you know, my mother-in-law might be watching him, or, you know, maybe we're going to, everyone asks, you know, oh, where's little Luca today? I said, oh, he's in the back washing dishes.
Oh, yeah. Very, very soon.
The reason why I loved talk about food is because food to me equals love, right? So you're talking about the Sunday dinners like your mom is doing or that your dad did.
Right.
You know, when people come together to eat, whether it's every single Sunday, right? It's just about love and being together and everyone's welcome.
Right.
And that is what you learned growing up, and then that you found that and those tastes and that joy in Italy, and you brought it right here to Lyle.
Absolutely. I mean, when you start eating that, it just kind of brings back some memories, and you know, you just start thinking about you know, childhood or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Maybe someone that passed along, whatever, you know. And yeah,
I'm in.
How did you get involved with the Eyes of the Skies Festival?
They were kind enough to reach out to me and just say, "Hey, we're looking for somebody. We hear you're the new kid on the block. We'd love to
because it's a community event and they wanted everybody here. That's what
absolutely
they're trying to do.
And one of the best things about the Downtown Lyle is it's all just other family businesses. So it's just. They're the nicest people in the world. Everybody I've met around here. It just means a lot to us because we're just starting out. We need all the help we can, you know, and they're just super accommodating and they're great.
Are you working tomorrow morning?
Oh, yep.
You open at 5:30. What time are you there? 3?
I'll be up at 2:45 so we could make sure that we have pastries and coffee here.
Oh, at the festival.
Yeah.
So you're right. This is good. It's perfect timing for a 9-month-old, right? Because little Luke is probably getting up too. It works out great.
That's perfect. He does the 3 a.m. feeding.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Boy, no wonder your wife loves you. That's great.
Let's have a baby right in time when we open a restaurant.
You do all the work and then feed the kid at 3 a.m.
She's a smart girl.
Joe DiBraccio, Cafe Demota. Give the website again. And
so we're at cafedemota.com, CAFFEDIMODA.com.
And one of the things, when we turned around and someone said the restaurant guy's here, we turned around, you have a smile that just captures the room.
Thank you.
And I can see that, why people would love to come back to your place, seriously.
Oh, that's awesome. I appreciate that.
Continued success.
Yeah,
it's great to see you.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by.
Let's take a quick break. We'll check news with Kim Gordon. We're live in Lyle, the Eyes of the Skies Festival at 720 WGN.
Now back to Pete and Jane on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, the Hometown Voices Tour. We're broadcasting live from Lyle. Wow. All brought to you by the Eyes of the Skies Festival. 100% of the proceeds go to local charities. This has been so much fun meeting people.
Coming out to Lyle.
Yes.
I love doing a live broadcast.
I love it. We're taking pictures right now. That's why I had to stall for about 10 seconds.
No one lets me get out and do a live broadcast. I said, Jane, do you want to do this live broadcast? I said, who is it with? They said, Pete. I said, no, but as long as it's live, I'll do it.
You need to stop.
I know. I'm sorry.
The Evening Glow. They have balloons here. Eyes to the Skies. That means, you know, hot air balloons.
That means your eyes are to the skies.
Look to our right. We're right next to where the balloons launch. And we need an expert, Jane.
Well, so certainly what happened earlier was just a green pasture. And now all of a sudden
the balloons are showing up.
Because they're being brought in. Look at all of the wicker baskets. And those are not ones I'm going to decorate my house with.
You love wicker.
I do, and we do need an expert.
Will you please welcome in the Balloon Meister? It is Scott McClinton. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
I am great. Thanks for having us.
How does one become, first of all, what is a Balloon Meister? You're an expert.
Well, ballooning is very traditional. It comes from the UK. It's where it all started. And so in the UK, they always give people titles. You're a knight, you're a king, you're a... And when they started getting balloons together at festivals, they said, "Well, we got to have somebody orchestrate this. Let's get him a Balloon Meister." So as lazy Americans that we are, we brought it over here and just brought it straight over. And it simply means I organize the balloons. I direct their activities.
Okay.
I'm like a survivor.
Yeah, he's a survivor.
So like you're the air traffic controller mixed with the planner?
I am. Well, I'm a balloon pilot first and foremost. Oh. I've been a pilot for 31 years. And so... when you get to the U.S., the government likes to give you different titles. They call us air bosses. And basically, yeah, we direct the activities. I'm the chief meteorologist right now, and that makes me the chief decision maker.
I like that. So you tell them if they can go up or not.
I tell them if it's bad weather, I tell them they can't go up. If it's good weather, I tell them the conditions and what I think the parameters are that they're going to be flying in. And each pilot makes their own choice.
I mean, look at the skies right now. They're clear. So we're going up tonight.
If you look right, they're clear. If you look left, they're a little dark.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so what would you say?
Well, we're watching this
go
front.
Right.
Go right. We're watching this front coming out of Wisconsin. And we will see how it progresses through the area and the timing as it comes about through the balloon. So we have lots of things to do tonight. We have a balloon launch scheduled. So if the weather is on the edge and we may not be able to launch, that doesn't mean you're not going to see balloons.
Because you still inflate them.
Because we can still stand here on the field.
Yeah.
And we can still have the tether rides. We can still have the handicap tether rides. But we may not be able to fly. Right now I'm looking at a little wind direction towards the lake. We travel with the speed of the wind. Michigan's 100-some-odd miles away. It's not that windy tonight. So we need to be cognizant of where we're flying.
Right,
sure.
Right.
Okay.
So there's one thing I said. You can still inflate the balloons. It's not actually inflating them. What?
No, it's inflating.
It is inflating.
It's inflating.
But you're not... What are you using to inflate them? There's a big fire.
Air. No, we use air. You'll see they have big fans, and they blow just ambient air inside of them. And then right in the beginning, the pilot will carefully... put a flame in the bottom of the balloon. And when I say carefully, you know, these are $60,000, $70,000 balloons. Wow. So you don't want to burn it often. Wow. And as he puts the heat in there, that expands and it makes that hole bigger and bigger and bigger. And eventually enough heat is in there that it rises to the top of the balloon and it lifts the balloon up over the pilot's head. So that's the unscientific description of what we do.
Thank you.
How does one become a balloon
pilot?
Pilot, yeah.
We are certified and licensed by the FAA.
Does it start out as a hobby? Do you say to yourself, wow, I'd love to fly that balloon?
A lot of times it does. A lot of times it's a hobby gone bad. You know, I've been very blessed. I've been doing this for 31 years. I've traveled the country. I've traveled the world as my job. But the majority of pilots are hobbyists.
Okay.
And so it does. But we're licensed by the FAA. The balloons are registered aircraft. So they're inspected in accordance with all the regulations. We're governed by the same regulations. This morning, we were flying just on the edge heading for O'Hare. So the FAA's out here. They're okay flying up the edge of O'Hare. They're not so cool with flying to O'Hare.
No.
So we operate in a unique position amongst aviation because we always have the right-of-way.
So it's not common that we look up and see 30 hot air balloons, right?
No. Not very common at all.
Especially in the Chicagoland area. So this is a really special event that happens here in Lyle. Where in the world is the most popular place to see a hot air balloon? I feel like it's in, like, New Mexico or the Grand Canyon in Arizona.
It is. It's in the United States. It's Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh.
So we talk about having 30 balloons here.
Wait a second. Did you read up on that?
No, I just guessed.
No, it's
Albuquerque?
It is amazing. You'll go down to Albuquerque on a weekday morning, and there'll be 40 balloons flying.
What?
You'll just go on some random weekend, and there'll be 150 balloons flying. And for me, I'm like, I'm driving down the highway going, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, so it's between there and in Turkey. Every day, there are ruins in, and I'm drawing a blank on the name, but there's ruins that can only be seen by a hot air balloon, and they fly 300 balloons over these ruins every day, and that's the only way spectators and travelers can see these is to get in these hot air balloons and fly across them. You can't walk through them. They're all designated national treasures.
Oh, so whoever discovered them, they said, okay, well, that's it. No one's walking on these again. The only way you can get up there.
Right. Well, for a long time, they couldn't get over to them. They were protected national treasures.
Wow.
And then they said, well, you know, if we just had some balloons going over the top of it, it wouldn't disturb them.
Right.
And then, you know, flash forward to 2019, there's 300 a day.
Jeez. Wow.
I want to tell you this. So, like, probably 35 years ago, on my mother's 50th birthday, we saw some hot air balloons on a vacation. She said, boy, I'd really like to go up into one of those. And my dad was, like, teasing her. So we did a surprise party for her, and it was this big hot air balloon theme. And it was fun. And we really only saw them out west. I think we were on a road trip. And so what's really cool is they've gained more in popularity. Because back then, she was really scared. And we got her keychains and decorations. And we gave her everything with a hot air balloon, thinking we'd never see one in our life. Right? But it's more popular now.
It is. It's, as you say, it's a hobby for a lot of people. It's businesses in different cities, balloon rides. We get a tremendous amount of people. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, and we get a tremendous amount of people that come to town to start the bourbon tour.
Yeah.
They don't start till 10, so they're flipping around the hotel and go, I can go do a balloon ride. So it is, and as we've developed, we've become a very safe industry. We're very fair-weathered, so you know, if it's pouring down rain, you're not going for a balloon ride.
How do you steer the balloon?
Different altitudes. So today we went high to go to get up into the wind that we wanted to be favorable, and then they steered over towards the east slightly, came down. The wind currents on the surface were going back to the west. They took off from here, and they landed in a community park on the other side of the Arboretum. So we go to different altitudes, and we use that no matter where we are. We're in the midst of a planning, and I'm not really sure who talked me into this, but this winter we're going to fly over the Grand Canyon from Utah to Arizona. It's a 7-hour flight, and that is nothing but picking the right wind currents
to get yourself there,
because it's about $1,000 to get yourself out of the Grand Canyon. Yeah.
With a balloon.
No, just you. Just you.
Really?
Balloon stays down there.
I think there's another cost involved.
Oh, yeah, definitely so.
But what a spectacular view that's going to be.
That's what we're thinking, is that, you know, this is going to be worth the 2 years of planning and the permitting. But it's a fantastic adventure when you go on a balloon ride.
Well,
it is
sure.
a once-in-a-lifetime for most people.
Right. Yeah,
my mom never did it.
We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, you're going to tell us what's going on behind us, because
there's a balloon going up.
I know, they're blowing up these balloons.
Wow.
We're live at the Eyes of the Skies Festival. Let's check in with Kim, find out what's coming up, top of the hour.
Now back to Pete and Jane on 720 WGN.
It is the Hometown Voices Tour, broadcasting live from Lyle. It's the Eyes of the Skies Festival, nightly fireworks, hot air balloon launches, and the evening glow is going to be happening behind us as they blow up the balloons right now. Scott McClinton's with us. He is the Balloon Meister. Explain to people when they come out to Lyle Eyes in the Skies what's going to happen tonight.
Well, tonight we're hoping to offer them the opportunity to take tether rides if they want to.
How high is the tether ride?
Probably 40 to 50 feet tonight.
Okay.
It's going to last 5 minutes. It's kind of like a mini balloon ride that you get to stay here. That's the cool part.
Right.
So the 5 minutes is the going up and the coming down?
Yeah. They're up there at the peak of the ropes for probably 2-3 minutes.
Good enough to take some great pictures.
Oh, it's selfie. It's the selfie place of the festival.
How many stories is that?
Five.
Five stories?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. It doesn't sound like much, but once you're up there, that's high.
In a wicker basket.
You know what's funny is numbers are also different. 50 feet, people go, I'd like to go higher. And then at 30 feet, they're looking down going,
mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, you know, people say there's 20 balloons out here. There's 20 things that are 85 feet tall, 50 feet wide. You can't put 50 of them out there.
Right.
You can't see 50.
Yeah.
How many? Nothing to be scared of.
No. I'm not scared of it.
How many balloons are we going to see tonight?
We'll have 20.
20?
So we'll have two over in the tethered area. We'll have one all the way out to the east. It's Serena Song, the handicap balloon.
Yep.
And
yep.
then the other 17 will dot the field. We've got five really cool special shapes. So these are the neatest things in the world. We have a crab, which is absolutely hilarious. He's got a big smile on his face and eight arms that go everywhere.
Wow.
We've got this real cool owl. We've got Tom and Jerry, the cartoon characters.
Sure.
Then we have this new Rocket, and he's a bird pilot. He's a bird face, a Tweety bird face with Rocket goggles and everything. So yeah, it's really cool. Then we'll have some corporate balloons because somebody's got to pay our bills,
right?
And then we'll have some sport everyday hobbyists here. We have about six of those.
Now you mentioned earlier that these balloons could cost up to $60,000 or more.
Sure, the special shapes you're seeing tonight are probably $120,000 plus.
Who can afford that? How do you get money?
It's like a boat.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the best comparison. You can buy a boat if you've got the right resources, or if you can find the bank willing to do a little bit of creative financing.
A few guys you can share it with.
Or there's flight clubs to do that, those kind of things.
Right.
And but yeah, I mean, it's kind of like when you're a kid, you buy a used car. So you buy a used balloon starting off, because if you're not good at it, let's not spend $50,000 to find out you're a horrible pilot.
Right.
Yeah.
What's a used balloon going to cost me?
$10,000.
$10,000. Ah. Okay.
Yeah. And you keep it in your garage. You put it on a little trailer. You're not traveling all over the country.
Right.
These guys you see out here, some of these guys probably have $60,000-$70,000 in their rig to bring it around the country.
Wow.
So,
I mean, they just travel all the time doing festivals and rides. What are the balloons made of? I've never actually been this close to a hot air balloon, and I'm looking at one being blown up now. What is that material?
It's simple ripstop nylon.
Yeah.
It is.
Just like a parachute?
Exactly like a parachute, except we coat those a little different. We coat to keep the heat in and the UV rays out. So it's a double-coated fabric, but it is nylon. It's 1.9 ounce, just like your jacket, pretty much, like a parachute.
What a great idea. This has been going on for 37 years.
Started
this
with festival one has.
Yeah.
But it's a phenomenal. We get people that want to be in this event because it's very rare that you get to fly so close to the city. So this morning, literally when they took off, the backdrop was 13 miles away, was downtown Chicago.
That's awesome.
You can't do that. No. I mean, you cannot do that. If I'm a balloon pilot and I say, I'm just going to go up there and go do that, can't right. do it. Regs won't let me do it. Yeah. But this weekend, the FAA says, yeah, you guys can do it. Just be safe.
That's so cool. So we're seeing the one balloon going up, and everyone's starting to gather and get their places. When will we start seeing some of these balloons be inflated?
Well, we're going to look at the flight window in about 45 minutes to an hour.
Okay.
And I'm going to kind of assess to see what this storm front's doing. If it cancels the flight, you're going to start to see probably, I would say, before 7, you'll start to see balloon activity. And then that balloon activity will go all the way through till probably 10 o'clock.
But they can still blow them up and they sit, right?
They can.
Yeah.
And that's more than likely what will happen for a number of these. Some of the more experienced pilots may be interested in doing a short flight. And that direction is not wide open. You're not heading for wide open farmland down there. You're kind of heading through some congestion. So it takes a little more skill to find a good landing spot.
Scott, my visual of your radar, the weather radar, you have a van with about 30 TVs. I know it's probably on your phone, but for radio purposes, can you say we have the van?
We have the trailer. We have an event trailer over
okay.
there. And,
right.
And we bring up NWS and we put it on the computer, but my decision making is on my iPad.
iPad. Like
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I was looking at the weather earlier, and the FAA guy came in, and I told him I was checking weather, and he came swinging around. I was looking at Facebook, I'll be honest with you. I kind of felt a little bit bad. But yeah,
we all do the same thing, don't we?
But we model. I have a model that I'm using off of a professional aviation website designed directly for balloons, and so that's what we're looking at right now.
Okay. I feel like
Amazing.
The Balloon Meister and I are on the same wavelength. We're both wearing G-Shock watches, so I'm halfway there.
You're almost a pilot.
Right, I'm almost a balloon pilot.
So you're a balloon pilot. All right, can you pilot other things?
I actually have a gas license, so I can fly the dirigibles long distances. I've done some 4 and 5 day in the air flights, and I'm working on my fixed wing now so that I can do airships, do controlled airships, blimps, common term is a
blimp. What do you mean 4 or 5 days? In the air.
So
you're taking day trips and you sleep somewhere and you go back up in the morning and you take off?
No, it's kind of cool. And this is a western, southwestern thing in the United States, although there's a few clubs in the eastern part. Majority of that flight is done out east or out to the southwest. And we're now using hydrogen.
Okay.
Helium became very expensive about 3 years ago, and hydrogen has always been a lifting mechanism. So we went right back to hydrogen. Again, it's a very stable gas, but basically we use a balloon about half the size of the ones you're going to see out here tonight, 3,000 meters. We fill it full of hydrogen gas. We have a basket that's about 3.5 feet by 5 feet, and when you take off, that's where you live for the next however many days your flight is.
Oh, boy.
What happens if you go to the bathroom?
You just...
Well, see, so
go over some forest area.
How we keep lifting those is that during the day, the sun heats the hydrogen and naturally lifts us. At night, we ballast sand and things that happen during the day and water, and we ballast those things off at night to keep us aloft.
Wow. That's your answer.
There it is.
There it is, Jane.
Huh.
Don't get underneath a balloon at night.
If you get there when a gas balloon lands, don't take the Home Depot bucket.
Scott,
really?
It's great to talk to you.
Answer.
I mean, this is such a wonderful festival. This is my first time here. I can't
Me
wait
too.
To bring my family back.
I've always heard of it, but this is fantastic.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, if you bring kids out here, you've got places for them to eat. You've got the carnival, the balloons. It's a phenomenal place.
And the craft fair.
Yes. No, it's, I mean, there is something for everybody.
Okay.
There really is. And then tonight's going to be just extra special, too, especially seeing all these balloons. What a treat for a kid. What a treat for an adult.
We got a packed house right now. Scott McClinton, the Balloon Meister, thank you for coming by.
Thanks for having
me. Have fun.
It's great to see you. Thanks for explaining everything. We're live at the Eyes of the Skies Festival coming up. We'll check in with Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Newsroom right after these at 720 WGN. Oh, there's no break here.
Okay.
Well, we can say our goodbyes then. Nice.
Hi, Pete.
Jane, thanks for coming out.
Pete, thanks for making the drive.
I feel like we're in a fishbowl because this is where everybody's lined up right now to look at the balloons, and everyone's staring at us.
Because the balloons aren't up yet.
This is what you guys really look like? Yeah, this is us. This is what we look like. Yeah.
So are you going to go on the tethered balloon?
I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the tether first.
And are you going to dump the Home Depot bucket off the side?
I will not do that. No.
Right. That's only a 5-minute
ride. It's got to be tough if you're a woman up in the basket.
Well, that's why we just go on the tethered for
right.
5 minutes.
Yes.
No, I think it's just going to be a sight to see the balloons going up. There's another one going up right now.
I know it sounds 40 feet in the air. It doesn't sound like a big deal, but 5 stories and you're in a basket, that's high.
I'm excited to just see them getting blown up.
In thousands of people underneath you?
Yeah.
That's a little crazy.
What a great event.
Yes.
Eyes to the Skies Festival.
Remember, they are featuring hot air balloon launches all weekend long, nightly fireworks, and more through July 6th. Jane Monzuris, have a great weekend.
Thanks, Pete McMurray.
And you guys.